Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I just opened a PayPal email a minute before showtime, and it came from Alabama, $75 from a Christian couple who said, please put this money toward the open letter to Dr. James Dobson for the Colorado Springs Telegraph Gazette ad. And thank you very much from Alabama. Thank you, guys. We will do that. I have The first indication that one of the pro-life ministries that are celebrating this wicked ruling, this Gonzalez v. Carhart U.S. Supreme Court partial birth abortion ban ruling, this is the first indication that we are beginning to get to some of the pro-life organizations that are celebrating this evil ban. And it comes from Operation Rescue out of Wichita, and it is a press release out today, May 2nd, 2007, and the headline of the press release is this. Now, they have been praising this ruling, but the headline is Supreme Court decision has silver lining. Silver lining, that's good. Why is that good? Because good things don't have silver linings. Only bad things have silver linings. Bad things have silver linings. So it's beginning to get to them. It's not us that's getting to them. It's the force of the wickedness of this godless, brutal, violent ruling by our U.S. Supreme Court. So that's the beginning. That's the beginning. We'll keep you informed. And so that is a celebration turning into spin control. Supreme Court decision has silver lining. Now, if we had more time, I'd go through the press release and show that it's misleading. It doesn't have a silver lining. It is utterly wicked. But let me just read to you the first sentence, which contains something that's not true. Although abortion is not morally or ethically justifiable, and that's a good point. Abortion is murder. Although abortion is not morally or ethically justifiable, writes Cheryl Sullinger, it has been the unfortunate reality that killing a baby for any reason at any time was the law of the land until the Gonzalez v. Carhart U.S. Supreme Court decision last month. That's just not true. Cheryl Sullinger started off her press release with something that's just not true because Gonzalez versus Carhart did not say that you can't kill any particular unborn child at any particular time. That it was the law of the land that for any reason at any time you could kill an unborn child until last month. That's just more misinformation and misrepresentation of this evil ruling. And you know what? That's another sign. That's a sign that those in the pro-life movement who are celebrating this, they are bewildered deep down. So that when they want to praise the ruling, they can't even find something to praise it for, and they make things up. So we'll continue with that press release, perhaps on a future show. But right now we have in studio Joe Scott of Pro-Life Colorado. Joe, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
It's great to be here, Bob.
Joe, you were at the Capitol last Wednesday. What an extraordinary event that was. So neat. It was historic.
Fantastic.
Alan Keyes, there's a 15-second video clip of him at the front of the website, ColoradoRightToLife.org. People have got to see that clip.
I listened to it yesterday. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's heroic.
Yes.
He's just heroic. Well, you are here, to do a book report, but it's of a newspaper. What's up?
Oh, I got the Statesman today.
Mm-hmm. The Colorado Statesman.
The Colorado Statesman is the newspaper that's passed out at the Capitol to all the judges, all the politicians, lawyers, all the...
All politicians, activists, lobbyists.
Everything.
It goes to the state government, basically.
Right.
Has to do with Colorado politics.
Yeah, and anyone else that wants it can order it. But essentially, it's to keep Capitol Hill in Colorado informed on what's going on.
Right.
And I was in shock when I looked at the front page. There's Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes.
Taking up maybe a little less than a fourth of the top of the page.
Yeah, big picture of Alan Keyes.
Yeah.
And it's a lengthy article, and it's a good article.
It's an amazing article.
It is.
Even the headlines are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the first headline on the front page?
Yeah.
It says, "Wanted President to End Abortion Holocaust."
that is pretty amazing. Wanted, like dead or alive, only wanted President to End Abortion Holocaust. And then it says, "Keyes hails God, assails the GOP. That's pretty great. This is by Leslie Jorgensen of the Colorado Statesman. What's the caption of this front page photo?
Well, underneath, really good picture of Keyes. And he's always an animated speaker. So in the picture, he's animated, which is kind of neat, I thought. It says, Alan Keyes delivers remarks April 25th to commemorate the millions lost to abortion since the country's first abortion law was passed in Colorado exactly 4 years ago.
Wow.
That was amazing.
That is amazing that that is on a caption on the front page of the Colorado Statesman. So now, could we jump into the article itself?
Sure.
There is a photo of Judy Brown. That's really neat. And then other photos of Alan Keyes. They got Dan Kaplis in here.
Senator Renfro.
Senator Renfro had introduced a law in the Colorado legislature to ban abortion in Colorado. Of course, it was voted down in committee. It was first botched by our Republican senators and then voted down.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, wow, so, oh, there's quite a section here where Leslie Jorgensen quotes from my presentation and our summary against the ruling, this partial birth ruling, which is online. She goes on quite a bit. Can we go through that section?
Sure. Here it says, Bob Benyar, pastor of Denver Bible Church, unveiled a list of lukewarm pro-life conservatives that included Steve Forbes, Bill Bennett, Pat Robertson, James Dobbs in a focus on the family, Hugh Hewitt, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Medved, Sean Hannity, and Bill Kristol.
Wow. And, of course, some of these guys are listed because of them fawning all over Rudy Giuliani,
right,
who supports even partial birth abortion, and others are listed because they not only are praising this evil ruling that describes even new ways to kill unborn children, and this ruling is designed to protect the abortionist from a bad image,
right,
a bad reputation, not to protect the child.
Exactly.
So anyone who says this ruling is designed to protect the child is misinformed or is lying. And so at any rate, some of these guys are even supporting Rudy Giuliani, saying he'd be a great president, or others are saying this is a answer to prayer, this is a wonderful ruling, it's an evil ruling. Okay.
Okay, then it goes on to say, at the top of his list is President Bush, who praised the Supreme Court's decision as an affirmation of the progress we have made over the past 6 years in protecting human dignity.
Right. In protecting human dignity, that's just a lie, because the court, the justices, say you could pull the baby out to his belly button and kill him. You could rip off his legs at that point. You could stab him, make him bleed to death, whatever you want. Or they say perhaps the abortionist could think up other ways to kill the baby. So it's a lie to say that this has anything to do with human dignity or affirming life. That's all a lie.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
How does it go on? The next paragraph.
It says, NER said Bush failed to oppose a South Dakota law to ban abortion except in the case of rape and incest and life risk of the mother.
Yeah, she's wrong. Right. She made a mistake.
Yeah.
In her reporting, but that's all right. Okay. It was a complete ban, except if the mother's dying, they could try to save the baby and the mother. But okay, All right, let's continue.
And then the position led to millions of slaughtered infants declared in Yar.
So that position, the pro-abortion movement started 40 years ago in Colorado,
right,
with the same position of abortion for the hard cases, like mm-hmm. rape and incest. And that position is what has led to the millions of slaughtered infants, and that has become the position of the pro-life movement today. The same position that started this American Holocaust.
That we didn't have the guts back then to fight right there at the doorstep
right.
of the very beginning of the abortion mm-hmm. Holocaust. So now we just take their position, which is it's gut-wrenching when right. you think about it. And then you said we could drown today in this room with the blood of the kids killed just in the last month.
Yeah, now, just in the last month.
Right. And you're just referring to the kids all over the world.
Well, all the kids who've been killed by abortion in the last month, pretty big room, mm-hmm. the old Supreme Court chambers at the Colorado Capitol, and there were 250 of us or so in that room and down the hall, an overflow room. And yeah, we could have been drowned in that room with, what, 100,000 dead babies in the last month from around the world.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say, in a recent summary of the ruling upholding partial birth abortion ban lashed out against those who interpreted the Supreme Court's decision as an answer to prayer, such as talk show host Hugh Hewitt, and he just happened to be in town that day, it says. Mm-hmm. So you lashed out against them because they're praising God for it. That was wonderful, I thought.
Yeah, they're praising God for an evil, wicked ruling. Think about these justices. You know, we talk about them like they're just pawns on a chessboard. They're human beings, and they will answer to God someday. And they write these evil and wicked things. And then they hear Christian leaders like Dr. Dobson praising their rulings. They hear people praising them as justices, and that must give them comfort and help them sleep at night. Instead, if with one voice, the Christian leadership in America would condemn any ruling that said you could tear apart children, living children, then there would be a chance that these human beings in these robes, that they might repent. A
right.
chance.
And you said that the tragedy, which Hewitt and others should have known, that is not a single abortion, late term or otherwise, has been or will be canceled due to the ban. And that's true. They should know. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
They have lawyers that are mm-hmm. surrounding them that can tell them the truth. Some of them that you condemned are lawyers or were lawyers. It's just mm-hmm. unbelievable that they're not coming out with the truth about the ban.
So then, Joe, one of the reasons I think that this reporter, Leslie Jorgensen, quotes me at such length is because we are successfully getting our analysis of this evil ruling out to people. So
right.
that when she has it in her hands, no matter how you search on the internet, it pops up, this evil ruling, then the Colorado Right to Life summary of the ruling pops up that they've asked me to do.
Uh-huh.
And then she has it in her hand so that she could go on and say, here's what these Christian pro-lifers are saying is wrong with this ruling. So she continues. It's extraordinary how lengthy the quote is already.
And it also is the first time I've ever seen pro-life people quoted so effectively and without error in the media. Usually there's a twist or spin on it, and she has it you quoted word for word. It's fantastic.
And we might be empowering other pro-lifers in other states to use this information off the internet on this partial birth abortion ruling as they do interviews or send out press releases or make postings on their own websites or send emails to their friends, and also empowering reporters who are willing to show the schism in the pro-life movement of those who are praising God for an evil, murderous ruling and those who are grieving at the ruling.
Right. Then it says further, you emphasize further that the ban itself never had even the possibility of preventing a single abortion. Our Christian leaders have misled millions into thinking this ban would prevent at least some abortions, Enyart recently wrote. In reality, pro-lifers volunteered. They made phone calls and gave money, all to promote a ban that utterly lacked the authority to save even a single baby. Sadly, our leaders are not wiser than that, Enyart lamented.
Hey, Joe, when I went through our email yesterday, and it's been hard to keep up with the email since last Wednesday, but one Colorado pro-life activist who is strongly opposed to what we're saying, he sent me an email, and his first point, he challenged, what did we mean, as though we were making it up or lying, that pro-lifers volunteered, made phone calls, and gave money to promote this ban, as though there had not been 15 years of effort by countless pro-lifers raising money. I mean, I receive phone calls, fundraising phone calls, from Republicans, from pro-lifers, from Christian ministries.
From D. James Kennedy, from Focus on the Family.
And in the script that this fundraising organization is using, they mention partial birth abortion in the battle to enact the partial birth abortion ban. That's been going on for years.
That's right.
People have given money. They have volunteered. They've made phone calls. They've lobbied. They've even campaigned for people based on whether or not they were supporting the partial birth abortion ban. So we had 15 years of effort to pass a law that had not even the possibility of saving a single child's life by force of law. Not a single child.
Not only that, Bob, but I've gotten phone calls and emails this week, too, from people who barely know what I do, relatives, people in other states that know me, all congratulating me on this ban because they really believe that there won't be any more late-term abortions.
Yeah, they think there will not be. They think this stops the killing of late-term babies, and the ruling goes on and on to say absolutely you could kill these late-term babies, and the judges say, well, here's how. You can do it this way. They suggest ways, and they say the abortionists could come up with better ways of killing these kids. They admit that what they have enacted is now very possibly even more brutal for the child. It's more brutal for the child to kill him now because partial birth abortion was one of the least painful ways and one of the quickest ways to kill a child in the womb, coming out of the womb. But now they say, okay, so some people say this is even more brutal. And then they gave no response to that because there is no response. Because what Focus on the Family has succeeded in doing is now the abortionists are forced to use a technique to kill these babies that takes longer and is more painful for the child. It's more brutal. But we pat ourselves on the back because we could say, look, we had a victory.
Right. The day that the ban was passed, I was at the abortion clinic protesting, and other protesters were upset with me because I was kind of down that day because all I could think about was what it meant for the babies. You know, it's much more brutal for the babies. And they said I should see the good in the ban.
Well,
and
what?
I just couldn't see it. And
no.
I asked them
what? Good? What's there that's good?
Nothing.
Nothing. What is good in this ban? This ban affirms the right to kill unborn children. And they say, just like we regulate all kinds of businesses in the medical community under the Commerce Clause, we're just regulating this like we might any other procedure, like a dialysis guideline, for example. The ruling doesn't mention that, but that's what they're saying. It's just a regulation. And the goal of the regulation is not for the brutality of the child. It's for the image of the abortionist.
Right.
They want the abortionist to look better because that then is a reflection on the whole medical community. So this is a PR piece for the abortionist so that they could come up with ways of killing these babies that are less shocking. And that is verbatim what these pro-life justices wrote in this decision. And our pro-life Christian leaders should be ashamed of themselves for the mockery they're making of these kids who are killed.
That's right. It's devastating to me. It's devastating on several levels. One is that the pro-life community believes that there won't be any more late-term abortions, that means there's less people to come out and help.
My general manager, Will Duffy, was it on Friday, called in to Focus on the Family just to find out what they were saying about the ban and the ruling. And he said, hey, I'd like to know, what is your position on the Supreme Court upholding this ruling? So whoever he talked to said, hold on a second. He got passed to a couple different people. Then somebody said, okay, I can answer your question. Well, we're happy that the court upheld this ban. And he said, why? What will it do? And he was told, this will stop abortions in the 8th and 9th months. There will be no longer abortions in the 8th and 9th months. Now, I don't think that guy was lying. He's listening to Christian radio.
Right.
And he is being misinformed by people who themselves are either misinformed or intentionally don't want to know the truth.
Right. And that's pretty much carte blanche for the rest of the country. They're all going to fall into that same mindset, because if you don't have to believe that something out there is gruesome and horrible, it's just real easy to forget about it.
We have an audio clip of the radio show before mine on KLTT in Denver, 50,000 watt AM station. And it is by Chuck and Larry Bates, who host the news talk show. And Lolita Hanks called in, board member with Colorado Right to Life, and they were celebrating the ruling, and she's pointing out to them that there's many other ways to kill late-term babies, and she points out that this is not going to stop late-term abortion. And Dr. Larry Bates was surprised by that. You can hear it. He responds to her. He was surprised. And many people in his audience over the last 10 years have been misled to think that this would stop late-term abortions,
right,
or at least many of them. This has the authority to stop not a single late-term abortion.
So we undermine the pro-life effort rather than the pro-abort effort.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
And the pro-aborts are taking a fit over this, of course, because they can use this to raise more money, I bet you by the tens of millions, and get more volunteers,
right,
and get louder commitments by their candidates to fight for the right to kill the unborn child. So they're going to use this the same way the pro-life movement has used it for years as a fundraiser.
Right. That's exactly what they're going to do. And you even said it in this article. You say Rankin.
So you're continuing it with
the
Colorado Statesman.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
It says Rankin filed pro-lifers were never told that this ban had no ability to actually save a child and instead was a public relations event to keep the issue in the news. And that's exactly what it was.
And the last time I've heard that from a pro-lifer was yesterday.
Wow.
They were saying, we're pointing out how evil and wicked this ruling is, and they're saying, hey, it kept it in the news. Oh, it kept it in the news?
How shameful.
So we're going to advocate something wicked and evil to keep it in the news? I mean, that's a new low.
Yeah.
That's a new low. And if it wasn't wicked and evil, at least our leaders should have said from the beginning, by the way, this will not prevent a single scheduled abortion. We're just raising these tens of millions of dollars. I bet you it's over $100 million if we tallied it from all the pro-life groups, right, and all the partial birth abortion fundraising for 15 years since 1992 when this was first presented at an abortion conference. And if they would have said from the beginning, well, we're only doing this as a PR ploy to keep it in the news, well, then that would have been a little different. But instead, they used it as a fundraiser and they misled the public and the Christian community into giving for something that's turned out to be not only a lie, but evil.
The epitome of evil. And then you go on to say, the ban, Enyart continued, pushes the killing of late-term babies back into the darkness, out of the public view, and we have helped abortion industry present itself as more humane by robbing ourselves of the most powerful visual weapon we would ever have to convince people of the wickedness of abortion. And that's the truth.
Mm.
We could have presented this as what abortion is,
and
gone to the root of abortion.
This is what abortionists are. This is what Hillary Clinton is. This is what pro-choice is. But we have squandered the blood of the children killed by partial birth abortion by helping Planned Parenthood and the pro-aborts clean up their act and push this back into the darkness and out of public view. That quote ends like this in this article in the Colorado Statesman. It ends, let me read that sentence again. We have helped the abortion industry present itself as more humane by robbing ourselves of the most powerful visual weapon we would ever have to convince people of the wickedness of abortion, namely the blood of the children being killed out in the open for all to see.
That's right.
It's back in the darkness.
We should be, that's something that the entire pro-life community should be ashamed of.
Yeah, because, you know, at least with slavery, for as vile and wicked as it was, the victim could speak. They could speak for themselves, and they were visible.
Right.
And even the Holocaust, the victims were visible. The abortion Holocaust was less so because it's done in the darkness of the womb, out of public view.
That's right.
So we get a victim where they become so bold, they're killing these babies in public view in the light of day. And we have helped them to look more humane. And in fact, the Supreme Court said that our pro-life justices find better ways to kill these kids.
That's right. Absolutely disgusting. Yeah. Absolutely disgusting. Yeah, we haven't saved one baby, and we have not moved the pro-life movement from its stagnant position 1 inch forward.
In fact, when is the last time anybody from our church, Denver Bible Church, saved a baby who was going to be killed by abortion? When was the last time that's happened?
Today.
What happened? We only have a minute.
At the abortion clinic today, there was a young couple going in. I was able to talk to him from on top of a ladder. They went in. She told me when she came out, she was all the way to the table, ready to get on the operating table, and just burst into tears and came out and came to me and said, I know it's wrong. Can't do it.
Oh. So, Joe Scott, thank you for being at Planned Parenthood there at 20th and Vine. Oh. And it's usually about 100 babies that are saved. And we want a legal end to abortion. We need the government to outlaw abortion. But you know what? A pro-lifer standing on a street corner saves more babies than the $100 million we have raised in 15 years we've wasted fighting for a ban and a ruling that is a lie and that is evil.
That's right.
So, and then to top it all off, they end with the Colorado Right to Life pledge.
That was so cool.
The whole pledge is in the paper next to Dan Kaplis' photograph.
And Senator Renfro.
Yeah, 40 years, 50 million dead, one commitment. The following pledge is being circulated by Colorado Right to Life. Check it out on their website and please sign it. Joe Scott, thank you for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure, Bob.
And if anybody would like to give to our open letter to Dobson, please call us or go to kgov.com. And Maranatha, what a great school.